Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Finding someone who shares your values in today's culture isn't easy, and being single around the holidays isn't easy either. That's why Catholic Singles created a website and app where single Catholics can meet and get to know each other that focuses on values, activities, and interests. For over two decades, Catholic Singles has been fostering deep relationships because your faith matters. Start today at CatholicSingles.com. That's CatholicSingles.com.
Ignatius Press is pleased to announce the first national book club created for Catholic schools. Ignatius Book Club for Catholic Schools was launched to support Catholic schools' dedication to forming the whole child, mind, body, and spirit. Ignatius Book Club for Schools partnered with leading publishers of children's literature to offer the best books and educational materials for all reading levels and interests. Head to ignatiusbookclub.com/podcast and find wholesome books that delight, inspire, and enrich.
In this AudioCast 36, we're going to figure out if the topics of diversity and inclusion are just full of shiitake. So just sit back and...
1, 2, 3!
Listen.
If you're willing to talk, Father Leo is willing to listen. Get ready for a deliciously deep discussion of Shoot the Shiitake with Father Leo.
And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo, and today's guest, Dr. Moses. He is a specialist in diversity and inclusion. You're going to hear all about him in the deep dish discussion, but I thought that it was very appropriate to be able to talk about these things simply because we're hearing about it all the time. People are literally having marches to celebrate their diversity, and in my mind, I'm a guy who does appreciate the gray matter, but I certainly like the black and white. I like to make distinctions. I have to wonder if this diversity is really a rally or a cry to just be accepted for who you are, while at the same time, I'm wondering if people who love diversity can accept me for who I am, someone who doesn't fully embrace diversity. So this is a really a topic that can not only help you, it certainly can help other people, because I'm going to ask the hard questions. And just a thought here, I realize that the topics that I discuss may not be uber Catholic. They're not going to be uber Christian. They're not going to be uber spiritual, but they're going to be real. And I think one of the real challenges that our world has right now is that we're not willing to actually listen to each other and appreciate each other because of their diversity. And so guess what, ladies and gentlemen, in this little amuse-bouche and appetizer, I'm proving to you that even though I don't fully understand diversity, I am willing to embrace it. That doesn't mean I have to agree with it, but guess what? In a diverse culture, we don't have to agree with everything. So I hope you're going to enjoy this deep dish discussion when I return in just a moment and shoot the shiitake with a specialist who understands diversity. We'll be back in just a moment. This special episode is brought to you by BrandFox, where fulfillment, customer service, and e-commerce come together. It's awesome for groups, especially nonprofit and ministry groups, as well as small businesses that can sometimes lose their focus and mission and get caught up with the daunting task of commerce. And that's where BrandFox comes in, believes in partnering with you to complete commerce solutions so that you can focus on your mission. And they focus on the back end, the store, all of the profits and all of the commerce. And so give BrandFoxLLC.com a visit, especially if you're a small company or ministry, and I guarantee you one of their taglines is, "Relax, we got this." And for my company, they really do. BrandFoxLLC.com. Welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake for this deep dish discussion. I've got a great guest with me. He is my neighbor. So this not only satisfies kind of like my meet my neighbor special, but he is exactly the kind of person I, as a priest, need to be talking to because he is an expert in diversity. Diversity. Yes, yes. We've got Dr. Moses David, the Associate Dean for Diversity and Inclusion at Johns Hopkins University. And he has also got his own consultation firm called Davis & Associate Diversity and Inclusion Specialists. Did I get that title correct?
Correct.
All right.
You got it. Yes.
That is a big title. So let's start with, first of all, your job. Jobs. You got two of them. These are two full-time jobs, right?
These are two full-time jobs. And I'm also going to talk about my job versus my work.
Okay.
Which I think are two very different things.
Okay.
So my job is as Associate Dean at Johns Hopkins is to try to make Johns Hopkins a place where all students, faculty, staff, but mainly students at the Homewood campus really find it to be a place where they are valued, appreciated, accepted for all of the true difference and diversity they bring
to
the campus.
Just letting you know that there might be some people out there, and even in the back of my mind, you know, as a guy who has to follow the rules.
Yes.
I hear diversity and inclusion, and
yes,
it could mean either willy-nilly anything can go, a form of relativism, or everybody gets a trophy.
Okay.
kind of thing. You know, and it's like, at what point does diversity, how shall I say, diversity's and what we're trying to promote and just kind of respecting and including everybody.
Right.
Can that kind of just shoot itself in the foot because you can lose your own identity because you're trying to be all things to all people?
Well, so I don't think you can.
Okay.
So I think the beauty about diversity is, one, you have to think about identity. And we all show up in this world with a myriad of identities.
Mm-hmm.
And my work, my love, my job is to help people figure out how can I show up fully expressed in who I am and contribute to this place, but also be safe in knowing that my identity is valued, that I matter, that I'm seen, that I'm heard.
Okay.
And so I think that it's going to always be a beautiful thing to be able to celebrate someone's identity, someone's truth. So mm-hmm. I don't think it's an issue of watering down in a sense of having someone lose their sense mm-hmm. of self and diversity. So mm-hmm. I think it's important to be able to have people celebrate their
identities. So what is it? Okay, so we're talking about identities
right.
and the diversity of identity. And this can get political, can it?
Of course it can.
Tell me how.
Yes. Well, so let's talk about where we are right now in our country. So politically speaking, just the very fact that you have folks who are on the left side, the right side, the center side,
well, there's sides of center, too. Well,
this is true. Yeah, center left, center right, center center. So all that, you know, I think is a diversity of thought and action and how people show up, you know, from a political standpoint. But I think as well, where the politics come in is that me as identify as a black man, and so as an experience of growing up as a black man in this country, my filter is through that. And so for someone who does not understand how a black man might see the world, you know, that creates a situation where, you know, they don't know what to say or how to interact with me.
Mm-hmm.
So you have those politics in that as well.
But even just that word black man, because I just have interviewed other black men and they prefer, and I ask them, this is where I get kind of freaked out or a little maybe even upset, impatient, confused, all of those wrapped into one. I ask them, how would you like to be called?
Yep.
You know, when you describe yourself, do you want to be known as a black man, an African American man? And I get a whole diverse opinions. Which one do I follow?
So you follow the one that the person tells you they identify with.
Okay, so it's all about identity associations.
Right. And so, and what a way to honor people, to ask them, what do you identify as? Let me honor you by calling you that. So for me, if you call me African American or black, my preference is black.
Mm-hmm.
If you call me African American, I'm not going to stop you
mm-hmm.
And tell you, no, I'm sorry, please don't call me that.
But there is something that qualifies you as a black man.
For me, it is. And so I had an experience in grad school.
Okay.
When I went to Ghana, I had taken a group of students on a trip to Ghana.
Okay.
And while there, I was talking with some professors and some deans at the University of Accra. In Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the headmasters there asked them, I said, you know, when you look at me, do you see African American or do you see black? Do you see African? Like,
how do they see you as
black Americans? And there are two other gentlemen there. And so he looked at me and says, you know what? I love the fact that black Americans pay homage to their ancestry of Africa.
Okay.
But I feel that Black Americans get lost and don't realize the fact that there's with slave ancestry that was taken to build that country of America. And you may not have a tie to Africa anymore because your people for so many centuries have been
in America.
In America.
Yeah.
And it's okay to be called a Black American and own that. And he said it way more eloquent than I just did. But
there he said it with an accent too. He probably talked like Wakanda.
Well, but the way he said it really just, it hit me right at the moment that I needed to hear it.
Doctor, that is pretty impressive.
Yeah, and I just thought, I am going to own that I am a Black American. I don't have, of course, I have historical roots to Africa.
Sure.
But because of the slave trade, I can't trace that back. I don't have the privilege of knowing
you just know that
where
you
my
did.
People came from. Sure. Yeah, so.
But before that, before you encountered this, I would call an enlightened response or at least a different perspective, mm-hmm. How did you call yourself?
African-American.
Isn't that interesting? Because I'm hearing that depending on how much they've learned about themselves can affect how they identify about themselves.
Well, and again, it's individual because you might have folks who study African or in Africa for years,
sure,
who will still come back to the States and say, no, I'm African-American. And so, again, it's going to be so individual. But here's the thing. I tell folks, don't get so caught up in the label.
Okay. But is labeling. I mean, there's so much labeling going on right now, even from people amongst themselves, right?
Right, right. And so, again, ask someone, you know, okay. what's your preference? So, you know, what should I call you?
It kind of how I did it with you.
Right.
And that's okay.
Right.
I'm pretty sensitive about that just because it kind of drives me crazy. You know, as a little Filipino man, and I am a little Filipino man, I don't see myself as a tall white basketball player. You know,
right.
Maybe in a dream I could be that, but I'm a little Filipino man and I accept it. And I know when people see me, they automatically think that I'm going to confuse my F's with my P's and say, hello, padre, and I'm hardly that guy.
Yes.
So I think my experience is very different and I do identify differently. But this identification, big buzzword in diversity.
It should be.
Okay, so tell me about this.
But even, so I even want to push back on the word buzzword.
Okay.
Because I think sometimes when people hear buzzword, it's like, okay, this is what's in now.
Okay.
You know? And I think sometimes that can cause a little bit of confusion for people and say, oh, well, it's going to change later.
So identity shouldn't be just a pop
culture. No, it's who
reference.
You are.
Yeah.
And again, and we are made up of so many different identities, you know? And so you have your more popular ones, or popular, you have more your common ones, such as, you know, your race, ethnicity, gender, sexuality, religion, all of those. But then you have other pieces of, for example, your education status.
Yep.
I'm an uncle, you know, I'm a Michigander, you know, so all these people or all these different identities make up who we are. And you never want to get rid of that. That's part of your beautiful uniqueness, you know, that you have these different identities.
So what do you do at Johns Hopkins University then? You're an associate dean for diversity and inclusion at a very well-renowned institution. What do you do all day?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, my hope is that I want to be able to really make a strong impact for students to say, you know what, I matter on this campus.
Okay.
And so part of my day-to-day role is the offices that fall under me mm-hmm. are Women and Gender Resources.
Women and Gender Resources.
Right.
That's
Campus
interesting.
Ministry.
Okay.
LGBTQ Student Life.
Okay.
And the Office of Multicultural Affairs.
And multicultural affairs.
Right. So those are my four main areas that are in my portfolio. And then I'm also the point person for Hopkins for all student protests and demonstrations. And so I am that administrator who really is that go-between the students and the administration for the Homewood campus.
There are a lot of protesting going on right now.
We've had our share.
We have had
yes,
plenty
yes.
of them, even especially in Baltimore. And it's interesting because I would look at some of these and wonder, what are they trying to express? What is your kind of role in managing those protests and such?
Right. So I really think I have a very fun role with that. So I literally am the administrator to sit down with the students and help them answer those questions.
Okay.
So I'm the one who really is kind of helping them make sure they have their appropriate messaging that, you know, if they want to do something, I can ask the questions to have them think about, well, what's your message? Here's a way you might want to be more effective with it. And so,
what do you think about the Black Lives Matter protests?
As far as what?
Just how it comes across, its messaging.
Well, okay, so we got to unpack that.
We
because
do. Yeah, do it for me.
There's so much around Black Lives Matter. And I think the first piece to talk about the unpacking of that is that so many people hear Black Lives Matter.
Uh-huh.
And when they hear only Black Lives Matter. Yeah. And so I think what happens in that whole conversation around the Black Lives Matter movement and the protests is that there's so much backlash on it because people keep hearing the word only. But that, to me, is also fascinating because my question is, why do people only hear, or why do people hear that only Black Lives Matter?
Okay.
And so when I get to talk with folks about the Black Lives Matter movement, I'm able to help them understand that in the history of the U.S., you know, given our legacy of racism and discrimination, and people say, well, Moses, all lives matter. Of course, all lives matter.
Sure.
That's the whole point of Black Lives Matter.
Sure. It's
because historically, we look at our country and see the way Black people have been treated.
Sure.
We look at now the way Black folks are still being treated sometimes. There's this perception that all lives matter except Black lives.
Huh.
And so the notion behind Black Lives Matter really is a call to say, no, of course, all lives matter, but Black lives matter too.
Sure.
Okay. That's that piece of it. And so I love when people are being able to engage in this recognition that, yeah, Black lives do matter. And it's not taken away that all lives are not important. And okay. I think that's what people hear. They hear that if I say Black lives matter, then somehow if I'm not Black, my life is less valid. And that's not the case whatsoever.
What about in the protests when they associate, if just watching on whatever news source you're watching, and both of them will, both sides will show demonstrations, and some of them look violent, some of them look angry. What do you, as kind of like a diversity inclusion specialist, what can you offer to us as viewers and them as protesters to make sure that the message is properly communicated and properly received?
Well, again, I think that you have to be very careful of your intent
mm-hmm.
versus your impact.
Okay.
And so I think when you are going to have a protest, you want to be very clear about what your intent is.
Okay.
Okay. And so our intent really is to highlight awareness Black Lives Matter, if it's a highlight awareness of LGBTQ rights, if it's a highlight awareness of women and gender
issues. Oh, we'll get issues, there, brother.
All of that. You want to be very clear on your intent. And the hope is that if you plan carefully, your impact will match your intent. Okay? And so part of my questions that I talk with the students about, you know, who are looking to protest, well, again, what is it, your intent? Is the intent to spread education, to spread awareness? Okay. Here's some ways to do that. Let that show up in your messaging. Let that show up in everything that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Let that show up in how you interact with people.
Sure.
Okay. If that be your intent. So that's how I kind of
move them along.
Move along in it.
And yet you can see that it kind of goes a little out of control. You know, like, for example, if there is violence, if there's destruction of property and things of that nature. Do you think that that's from the people who are organizing it? Or do you think these are outside groups that come in and just muck it up for everybody?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I think there are people who kind of come in and, you know, cause ruckus.
They haven't taken your class.
Well, it's not even about class. I think sometimes there are people who may have the best of intentions, but then kind of go into something and, or there are some who just want to come in and just kind of start trouble. A perfect example is looking at what happened out at Berkeley. I think it was earlier, either this year or last year.
Okay.
They were protesting Milo Yiannopoulos.
That's right.
Who was there. And of course, you know, the windows were broken, the fire was started. That was not the Berkeley students who did that. That was other folks, local community, who came on campus to be a part of this. And so, again, you have to figure out sometimes, you know, there are people who may not be the best to carry your message, you know, because they may want to.
Glad that you brought up Yiannopoulos here, because he is a provocateur. You know, that's kind of his title. He is a provoker because thought sometimes needs to have their consciences pricked or even challenged. You know, as a Catholic priest, the only reason why I'm willing to look at something other than the opinion that I hold or the belief system that I hold is because someone has provoked me enough in hopefully a good way that didn't make me want to shut them down. There you go.
Tell me that. Well, I think there's this piece. And again, I can't speak to everyone, but here's my thought behind all of this, is that when you have a message,
mm-hmm.
you want to figure out, for me, how do I get my message across to you for you to truly hear me?
Yep.
My goal. I'm not saying that's your goal, but my goal is if I give a message, I want it to be heard. I think there are people who are great at provoking
sure.
and asking the question. Again, I go back to intent versus impact. Are you doing it in a way because you just want to really just piss people off?
Mm-hmm.
Because you want to get them angry? Or are you doing it in a way that you want people to think?
Mm-hmm.
And so some of those folks out there who are provoking to incite violence, or who are provoking to incite rage.
Sure. Fascinating, because the whole LGBTQ And there's more, aren't there?
There's always more, but that works.
So LGBTQ.
Yes.
Okay, and it starts with... Sometimes, in my mind, I will look at this and be like, what the heck is this supposed to even mean these days? Because there's such a spectrum, and I think there's a big debate between identity and, obviously, gender when it comes to how you see yourself.
Well, gender is part of identity.
Gender is part of identity. And if you don't, so let's just go there.
Okay,
let's just go there. What do you do with the LGBTQ community? And by the way, what does queer mean?
Now that's a great question. So you will find, so again, it also depends on your age. Okay. So I think—
Did you just call me old?
No. So I think there are folks who hear the word queer.
Yep.
And I think if you are, I'd say, middle-aged and older, especially—
Wait, what's middle-aged?
Well, I'm 43, so I'm not there yet. So that's my excuse.
Relativism. Yes.
So I'd say 50s and up.
Okay. You know, 50s and up is middle age. When I was 20, that would have just been old.
I understand. So, you know, and that your mind changes, or your thoughts change when you're approaching that number.
So, in other words, our identity is, in your thought process, can be fluid. But there's also got to be some.
Fluid.
But there's got to be something objective about that too, isn't there? It's like, once you're 65, you are not young anymore. You are not ancient old, but you qualify for senior citizenship, right? When does that start? 60
well,
60, or
65?
65
in the U.S., I believe.
Okay,
but anyway, it's still identity. And again, and sometimes though, here's the thing: if you meet someone who's 65 and you call them senior citizen, and some of them say, "No, I'm not a senior citizen. I'm still young and spry."
Okay.
Well, then it's wonderful. You're young and spry. You know.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, so I want to go back to something you said earlier, but, you know, with gender and then LGBTQ.
Yeah. And what does queer mean?
Those are very different, you know? And so, yes. So gender is your gender. It's the, what you were born with, your,
biology,
your physiology. Mm-hmm. Whereas your,
and even your chromosomal makeup.
Right.
Okay.
That's
gender.
That's gender. Your sexuality is, that's where you have LGBTQ.
Sexuality.
So,
okay.
In the using of the word queer. There are folks who, especially folks of color, if you call them queer, it's almost like calling them a derogatory word. So, for example, I equate, because of my experiences growing up, if you call me queer, it's almost like calling someone a nigger.
Really?
Okay? Because, again, the terms were very derogatory. So the word, you were called queer as an insult. Okay. However, you've had now a reclamation of that term, and you find more younger folks who then embrace that word queer as a part of who I am.
Okay.
And a part of the general identity. And so even with communities of color who will say they're queer as well. So, but again, that's the beauty of language and how it can change and shift.
Beauty, but it could also be kind of destructive if there's not something that means something concrete. Like yes means always yes, no means always no. And now the fluidity of the language, I think it changes with obviously pop culture, because wasn't there a show like Queer as Folk? That was like way back in the 90s or something.
Yeah, and I
called that show. Well, you're the most diverser.
Well, thank you. That is a badge I will wear.
Okay, well.
But here's my piece of a show like that, Queer as Folk. Not going to lie, I watched it. Every single episode, the whole season. But here's what got on my nerves about it, was the fact that in this show, there was a single story, if you will, of what it meant to be gay. And what that show did was it showed a single caricature of gay whiteness, and that it was always about the club, it was always about sex and drugs. And okay, so there might be a group of white gay men who want to have sex and do drugs and go clubbing every night. But you have a whole myriad of people who have nothing to do with that, but that's what gets out there. And people then say, oh, okay, that's queer. That's what gay people do. They all go to clubs, they all do drugs, and they all have sex all the time. And I think while you appreciate the fact that, you know, media is pulling things out there and you're having these images shown, you also have to take the responsibility to say, wait a minute though, but that can't be it.
Mm-hmm.
That can't be the only thing that's shown, because then people look at that and say, oh, see, there they go. That's everyone.
When we come back, we are going to continue our discussion and we are going to dive right into probably the thing that can be the most divisive, and that is sexuality and the diverse ways people express it. And we're going to keep shooting the shiitake here with Dr. Moses Davis, the Associate Dean for Diversity and Inclusion at Johns Hopkins University. And he's also got his own consultation firm, Davis & Associates, Diversity and Inclusion Specialist. These are big titles, man. I mean, we'll be right back. It's about that time when you should be planning what you're going to be doing next summer. I know for many people it is just winter, but unless of course you're in Australia, then it's obviously summer. But you know what I mean. Either way, we all have to take a break. And that's why throughout the year 2019, I've got four amazing trips available for you to give you a chance to explore this awesome world that God has given to us, and more importantly, to bring about community and conversation, culture, all by becoming a pilgrim. So join me on one of my trips by visiting fatherleofeeds.com/travel or call selectinternationaltours.com at 800-842-4842. Again, that's selectinternationaltours.com or call 800-842-4842. Welcome back to another fascinating conversation with Dr. Moses Davis. He is just a diversity and inclusion specialist. And we know for most people, we hear that, and there might be some people who just think, fluffy.
Yes.
Absolute fluffiness. This is just one of those things that, and you'll hear a conservative say, just a whack lib job kind of, you know, promoter of losing identity because we don't know what identity means anymore. But I'm actually learning some things. One of the things I got to learn is that I have to literally ask a person who was different from me, how would you like to be referred to?
Absolutely.
And then how about this? Like, because if I talk to a Protestant and I introduce myself and I say, hello, my name is Father Leo. And they go, hello, Pastor Leo. I'm like, no, I'm Father Leo. Respect my diversity. I mean, can I say that to them?
You can. No. Now, my response would be, how do you say that in a graceful way? How do you say it with love?
And how,
you
know, tell me how. How should I say that?
Well, again, so I'm talking about Moses here. Mm-hmm. Part of my belief is that...
You mean doctor?
Well, Dr. Davis, Dr. Moses. So people call me Dr. Moses, and I can tell you why. Really quick story.
Yeah.
I went to Penn State for my PhD.
Show off. I'm kidding.
Well, you know, we are. But I went to Penn State, and so as I was working on my dissertation, finishing up, I had some students in my office, and they were saying, well, what are we going to call you when you're finished? And I said, well, you'll call me Moses. They're like, no, we're not calling you Moses. You got your PhD. We're going to do this. I'm like, no, Moses is fine. They said, no, but you know what? You're not Dr. Davis. You're way too cool to be Dr. Davis. You know? And I'm like, you all call me Moses. And the one student said, no. You're going to be Dr. Moses. And they all started like, say, yeah, Dr. Moses. And for me, it was such an honorable moment because here I am as an administrator there. I had students telling me that I was too cool to be Dr. Davis, but they want to honor the fact that I got my PhD. Yeah. So they called me Dr. Moses. And I wear that literally as a badge of honor. So even at Hopkins now, I tell folks, you can call me Dr. Moses, you know, because I think for me, that was a name that was given to me mm-hmm. by students. And my work is for students. And so I love the work I do. And so okay. That's how I got that.
All right.
But anyhow, responding in grace. You
yes.
know, so way that I do that is I think sometimes people are going to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are going to say things that may or may not be offensive. Again, you have intent versus impact, as I talked about earlier.
Sure.
But I think there's this piece of when we cause harm unintentionally, what's our role as humans to be able to say, you know what? You said this. It hurt me. It offended me. I then, as Moses or Dr. Moses, Dr. Davis, whatever, have the opportunity then to say, you know what? Let me speak to you in love. I believe I show up in this world in love. That's part of who I am.
Okay.
To say, you know what? Let me help you reframe that. Here's what you just said. Here's how it landed on me. And perhaps here's another way to do it. And I think if we can start to greet each other in this space, for me, I imagine the world that I want to live in is that we can be different. We can make mistakes, but I can still correct you. I can still honor who you are.
Mm-hmm.
But do it in a way where I don't have to humiliate you. And, you know, point my finger at you and have you go stand in the corner forever and ever and say that you're now the most racist or the most is thing ever because you've done this blunder.
That's a huge thing. Everyone is, are people these days more easily offended? Would you agree or disagree?
I don't know if I,
And that's okay.
You I don't know disagree. If I would agree with that. I think people, so back to your piece about how people look at diversity, people say, oh, well, you know, they're snowflakes. Or they're just, you know, soft fluff. My pushback to that is the people, and this is just a question.
Sure.
The people who are saying, oh, this is just pushback, this is fluff, I wonder what their identity is. Because if you are the person on the receiving end of having to always be the other, have to be the one who's looked at as the other, I think it's people in that privileged spot who are in that majority identity who's always saying, oh, they're snowflakes. I wonder what, if that is something that is not about just being the sense of being too sensitive, but you're always having to feel like you have to be on guard because someone is saying something that's always, you know, attacking you or
so,
the other.
There's a tremendous amount in the news, whether someone is a Nazi, whether someone is going to be a racist, whether someone is going to be a homophobe, whether someone is going to get sued because they don't want to bake a cake for a gay couple. And so we see how this plays out. Mm-hmm. And it can be kind of frustrating for at least for someone like me who identifies as someone who would agree with more of a political, not even political, but like a moral-ish background. Mm-hmm. And like, why couldn't somebody deny a customer a cake? Or, I mean, because like, hey, if someone wants to call me a name, I'm not going to sue them for it unless it's really disgusting and just, you know, they're labeling me as something mm-hmm. that's really, really, really offensive. But I don't know if, I guess my mind is just in a flutter right now because all that you're saying is challenging something in me, and that is, what's right anymore? There's kind of like no right anymore. I mean, there's no correct.
Oh, see, I
correct.
Disagree with that. No,
so there are correct things and there are incorrect things.
I think there are correct things. Now, again, I'm responding to you as Moses.
Yes.
And, you know, and I.
As opposed to Dr. Moses?
Or Dr. Moses.
Or you're consulting?
I'm responding to you as who I am right
sure.
now.
Okay.
In my full self, which might be a different response for someone else. I think there is this piece of, you know, I can say right or wrong or correct, but I think that I'm someone who really believes that I show up to this world in love, that my role really is to lead with love, to welcome people with love. And I'm not talking about, you know, the romantic love per se, but really just kind of a love of people.
Sure.
Now, I also, so you know, identify as Christian.
Okay.
Which,
by the way, I didn't know. I don't know you
right,
all that
right.
well, you know.
But you're going to disagree with me, possibly, I think.
Okay.
Because my idea of Christianity and how I show up as Christian is that I know that sometimes when people put the word Christian out there,
mm-hmm.
that word in itself causes fear for people. Because even for myself, my thought is when someone tells me they're Christian, my thought is, what kind of Christian are you?
Okay.
Because
that makes sense.
There are Christians who I believe that are out there to really send fire and damnation to everyone and send folks to hell, you know. And I think there are also this piece that says, well, you know what? My job as Christian means that, you know, I follow the teachings of Christ. I've learned. It's my belief. And it's just how I see the world. And there are folks who say, you know, yeah, I'm Christian, but it doesn't mean I agree with everything the Christians do. And so I think right now in our country, in our world, there's this huge fight just about the word Christianity.
Sure.
And what that means. We can talk about four podcasts about just that one.
Well, I mean, you only live like a block and a half away.
We can
so
do that, yes.
We're going to be doing that more.
But I think that, you know, so for me, leading with love is that, is there a right thing to do? I think if I'm saying something that I know is going to hurt you,
uh-huh.
to me, that's a wrong. I don't want to cause you harm. Doesn't mean we can't challenge each other, but I'm not going to intentionally go out to try to hurt you.
Interesting.
And so that for me, that's where kind of this right and wrong piece goes in, or this moral piece kind of goes in.
See, and so let's just take the case of, because I've never had a discussion about it, but the baker who just didn't yes. want to bake the cake was... Was that the whole, how it turned out with with a whole backlash, you know, they had to close their business. It seemed to me that the bakers didn't intend to hurt them. They just didn't want to make them a cake because it didn't agree with their principle. And then the suing, there was an intent to hurt them or to make them agree with them. They didn't want to make the cake. They just wanted to punish them for not making a cake. This is a freaking cake we're talking about, and this made national news, right?
It's more than a cake.
Okay, tell me about that.
So I think there's a piece of...
Would you you would side, or would you not take a side?
Well, I think I have a side.
Okay.
I think given the work that I do, there's probably an implied side, and that you know, my thought is, well, I have two conflicting thoughts. One is that you make the cake, because I don't think that, you know, if you're a business and I come to you, for you to tell me, is it okay, well, you are a black man and I don't believe in black rights. I don't believe in them, you know, and so therefore, no, I'm not making you a cake to celebrate something because I don't believe in your blackness.
Okay.
I think we'd have a problem with that.
Sure.
You know, and so if you tell me, well, you are a lesbian couple, you are a gay couple, or however you look at that, and therefore, you know, I'm not making a cake because I don't believe in your lifestyle,
yep.
quote unquote. I have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it a private business? It is, you know, I guess. But, you know, in our country now, with gay marriage, it being legal, I think that there's this piece of, do I want to honor you for really discriminating against who someone is? I take issue with that, you know, because it's a business. It's a business, you know, and I think that I don't know if I feel comfortable saying, well, it's your business. You have the right to serve whomever you choose. But then who does that?
Yeah, but it would be
and
like
how do you choose.
Exactly. It would be like, hey, I'm going to a synagogue. And in a way, it's a business. And I want to hear about Jesus. I wouldn't have that right for that. Or like, hey, I'm going to go to a halal grocery store or a restaurant, you know, like someone who has got some dietary restrictions, and I ask for, you know, a BLT. They wouldn't be able to give that to me just because they would disagree with it. And yet, do you see where I'm going with it? Like it,
I see where you're going, but I don't make that connection because I think for me that's very different.
Okay. You know,
and how I see it, because as part of the, just for example, with halal, in the halal faith, religion, practice, how you handle food, well, you're not going to go ask for a BLT because you understand that.
Sure.
With Christianity, it's not that clear. Again.
Interesting. Okay.
I'm Christian. And you, I'm assuming as a Father Leo, I'm assuming you're Christian, you know, versus Paula White,
uh-huh.
versus Joel Osteen, you know, all these folks, or versus Donald Trump, mm-hmm. who's also Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Who's right? And whose Christianity is the one that's kind of, that takes the lead? And I think that's part of my issue. And so as a Christian baker,
sure,
you know, to say, well, I'm not serving you, as Moses, that's not Christian.
Okay.
I'm not deciding, well, I'm not a baker, but I'm also, well, I do, but I'm not deciding if I'm going to bake for you based off of, you know, your identity and who you are. So that's my issue with that.
So identity. Folks, just so that you know, by this point in my conversation with the podcast and with this show, I have interviewed a transgender prior to their surgery, and I'll be doing it after the surgery
as well.
A transgender person. Yes. Okay. As opposed to saying a transgender. Because
right.
like I've heard them say I'm trans and that's fine with them.
Right.
So like what might be fine for them, you would take issue with it for them, or you'd be like.
Well, I think again, sometimes the words we use, you know, we say a transgender.
After a while.
Like they're like the gay. I'm going to, you know, take care of the Jew.
Uh-huh.
And I think there's these words for me that are so inflammatory.
Okay.
That I'm like, ooh, let's honor people.
This inflammation, though, what causes it? Is it truly just something because you have an experience of it, or
I think it's the experience, but also I think media plays a huge part in that and how we've been taught to believe. So, for example, I cringe when I hear folks refer to Jewish people as a Jew, because when I hear that, sure. I think of, you know, growing up and hearing that whenever I heard someone called a Jew, it was always a negative piece about that.
Mm-hmm.
So calling someone Jewish and who they are in their religion, I think it's a safer way. Again, that's a Moses thing.
Mm-hmm.
You may disagree. You may find Jewish folks who say, no, you know, you can call me a Jew and that's fine.
Because you're a guy who doesn't like African American, I forget what this is like. There's something in February that we honor African American history.
Well, let me unpack that.
Okay.
It's not that I don't like it. I am not always a favor of choosing
uh-huh.
when to celebrate a group of people.
Got it.
I think every day should be celebrated for everyone. Specifically with African Heritage Month.
African Heritage Month. That's what I was talking about. Yes.
Or Black History Month.
Well, I sounded insensitive even when I didn't know exactly what the title is.
No, you're fine there.
Because there's so many stinking titles these days. People are afraid to speak.
That's okay. And we're talking.
Yeah, so exactly.
But
don't you think though that people get like just so stuck in political correct terms, or more intentionally beneficial terms. I mean, I don't even know what to say some days.
Well, and sometimes, here's my piece about it. You know, language is going to evolve, yep, as it does, you know? But I think when you can show up as yourself to have a conversation and be open to saying, you know, I may not know the right words to say, I'm going to say this, but allow yourself to be open, to be taught. You know, if you say something that might be offensive, hopefully the person will honor you, that gift, to tell you, that might be insulting the way you said it. Let me help you as an idea to reframe it.
And
you
know, I have to be humble enough to be willing to hear that.
You have to be humble to hear that. And sometimes we're not there.
Yeah,
you know?
We're certainly
and
not
so
there.
As people, depending on where it shows up, we're not there in the space to hear it. But to go back to African History Month,
yes,
part of my issue with that.
Heritage.
History, heritage. I use them interchangeably. I don't know if you noticed, again, one, who, I'm putting quotes up right now.
Yep.
Who is the body of folks that decides this month is for you?
Mm-hmm.
I take issue with that. But also with African Heritage Month, you think about that. You know, it's February, which is the shortest month of the year, often the coldest of the year. And so I think about the history of that and the folks who said, well, yeah, here's a month we're going to honor you.
Yeah, it is weird that we celebrate Valentine's Day in the most, one of the oddest days, you know, oddest months.
Yes, well, you know, it's cold. So I guess you can snuggle up, but, you know, however...
So we're keeping it PG-13 here, Moses.
I'm talking to father here.
Exactly.
Forgive me.
No, not at all.
So, but yeah, so I think in some of those heritage months, of course, they're wonderful to celebrate.
Sure.
You know, but I imagine a world where I don't have to wait until November to celebrate who I am.
Well,
I don't have to wait
until
February. I can be honored in who I am every day.
There's a movement afloat where, at least in the Catholic Church, everybody wants their own ethnic church. At one point in history, we had the Irish Church, the German Church, the French, the Italian Church. I live right down the street from Little Italy, and you've had experiences there too. And they can be pretty, I don't want to say closed to other realities, but they didn't believe that I was actually an American because I wasn't a tall white guy wearing a cowboy hat, which was kind of their experience of it all. But there's a movement to get like Filipinos to have their own parish in certain places. And I told them that would be one of the most challenging things to preserve your culture because you wouldn't be interacting with the people that you live with now. And the majority of them are not Filipino. They're generally Americans for the most part of all types. So go out into the world and just be a Filipino. That's my thought.
Yeah, so let's explore that a little bit more.
Unpack that, doctor.
So I'm going to unpack that with you. So the beauty of culture, I think, is that we all have a cultural identity. There is absolutely nothing wrong with celebrating who you are culturally as a people.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's beautiful, especially on the college campus, like to have, you know, a space where I can be in a spot where people look like me, where people will speak my language, where they understand my heritage, what's going on with me because we share that same culture. That should be celebrated, okay? There's nothing wrong with that. I think sometimes where the challenge comes in is when you say, well, this is only for me, and this is only the only thing I'm doing, and I don't want anyone else to come in this, and I'm only going to stay around this people, you know?
Okay.
And keep everyone else away. I think that's where the challenge kind of comes in with that. And so I think you could have a situation where you have folks who are Chinese American and want to have, you know, a service or have something that really celebrates that identity of Chinese American, that if you are a Black American, if you're white American, you just don't know about because you're not Chinese American. There's nothing wrong with that.
Sure.
But then again, my piece where I push back on that is if you only seclude yourself around folks who are only like you, because as you said, then you stop that growth and development of learning more about other folks.
So as we're coming to a close here in this interview, kind of a fascinating interview, you said that there's more that we can unpack, so I can have you back on the show.
Absolutely.
All right. So between now and then, though, what would you say would be a good thing for me to learn into the little bit that you've heard me and even just some of the questions? How can I be a better priest in order to promote authentic diversity and inclusion?
Yeah.
Just listen. Give me like one or two things. Okay, listen.
Listen.
Yep.
And listen with your heart and with your mind.
Okay.
And listen to understand versus to judge.
Okay.
And to open yourself up, to allow yourself to be heard, to be exposed to something, to be challenged. And if you get uncomfortable, sit in that discomfort and examine why you're uncomfortable. But sit in it. Don't fight it and say, you know, and go to, you know, this whole pace of, you know, no, you're wrong. But no, if you're uncomfortable, sometimes sit in that, because there's so much learning that happens in the space of discomfort that I just imagine, you know, if we did more of that, how far this world would, where we'd be next, you know, if we are able to kind of sit and learn and understand and all of that.
Well, we've got a lot to learn, but part of my reasoning for having him here is because I was going to make him a crab cake.
Yes.
A Maryland-style crab cake. So you just had the gazpacho soup with some fresh crab.
It was delicious. Absolutely delicious. Very fresh for the summer, as you said. It was great.
And we're going to make a crab cake next, and we're going to keep the discussion going. But when we come back, at least when you come back, I'm going to offer my carryout order. What did I learn from the discussion with Dr. Moses Davis? And he promised to be back on my show because we've got a bunch more issues. Because I think we need to be a little bit more inclusive in the most appropriate way. And the only way to do that is if we're willing to listen. So stick around so that you can listen more. Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo. Thank you to all of our premium subscribers, those who donate $10 or more each month. And this week's special content, we're actually going to go all the way to the country of Kazakhstan and learn all about those people. And it is unbelievably surprising to hear how diversity plays out in a very different part of the world. So if you are interested in learning more about how to support our movement to help conversations bring about conversions, simply donate at shootthishiitake.com or fatherleofeeds.com/listen. Donate today and you'll be receiving your extra conversation delivered to your email each week. Again, that's shootthishiitake.com or fatherleofeeds.com/listen. And welcome back for our carryout order here on Shoot the Shiitake. And I don't know if you could tell, but there were some really challenging moments in my conversation with Dr. Moses. He's a great guy, and I'm just so grateful that he was willing to have this conversation with me. I will admit something to you. I struggle with accepting people for who they are. That's just the reality. There's always going to be a little level of prejudgment that I have with people. So, for example, if you're a hardcore conservative and you meet a raging liberal, there's going to be a little bit of friction there. There's going to just be that reality. Or if you've never met a black person before and then you meet one, it can be kind of shocking knowing that, guess what? They are different from you. And I just think about, you know, black people from Africa coming to America and seeing only white people, you know, back in the day. Clearly, with the internet and the ability to have conversations, our ability to travel in literally hours to a different world altogether, we have been confronted with diversity probably a lot more quickly than we can register. Basically, what I'm getting at is this conversation about diversity, it is not easy to understand. So there are these schools now, you've heard them, I mean these universities, that are requiring diversity classes for all incoming new students. And you not only have to pay for that course, there are not as many of them available, so you could literally be postponing or prolonging your education simply because you can't move forward until you take this diversity class. And, you know, I would love to actually sit in one of these classes and see what it's like. Well, here's one of the problems. You can't force people to accept diversity. You really can't. In my honest opinion, you can only expose people to it and then help them to manage how they manage their experience of diversity. That's it. You know, there's only so much you can do. And oftentimes, I think in the modern world, we are sometimes force-fed this message, which, you know, in my honest opinion, is a very difficult pill to swallow, which is why I engaged my conversation with Dr. Moses. And it was a very nice conversation. You can hear when there were areas of disagreement, but that didn't mean that I couldn't learn something from him. And one of the things that kept coming up, at least in my mind, as he's talking, is what's my intention when I approach someone who is different from me. I've got to check my heart. I've got to check my mind. I've got to find out what my intention is. If I'm going to say something that might be offensive, I have to make sure that I don't intentionally want to offend people, which might require me to change up how I'm going to say something. That's all there is to it. You know, they always say if you want to write a mean letter to someone, and you could be 100% right, write the letter as you want to say it. You spout it all out, and then you like wait a day or a couple hours, reread it, and you realize, you know what? If I really wanted to make a change in someone's heart and mind, I probably have to approach it in a different way. So I think what we've got to do, if we want to really improve and learn from this conversation as I'm trying to, I got to check my intention. One of the other things that I walked away with from this conversation is that old adage, you're never going to be able to know someone unless you walk a mile in their shoes, okay? And hopefully they're comfortable shoes. But oftentimes when you're dealing with people you don't like, they're probably going to be very uncomfortable shoes. And can we walk in their shoes? It's actually called companionship. You know, it's a breaking of bread, sharing your bread with others. And then it's also connected to compassion with suffering. That's what the word means, compassio, with suffering. Are you able to suffer with other people? That's one thing that we just don't have the time to do. You know, I mean, like even my question to ask Dr. Moses, you know, do you prefer to be black or African American? It takes time. And you can see how bulky relationships will get if we're constantly dancing around the issues, which is why I had to intentionally ask the question in a way that was not going to be offensive. It could make me actually sound a little bit like a sissy, to be honest with you. Why can't you just simply ask the question? Why do I have to kind of dance around an issue? Well, I think it's because I haven't walked in this man's shoes, so I don't know if a question is going to affect him positively or negatively. So I've got to check my intention and then walk with this person a little bit before I ask something that could potentially be harmful to that person. But you know, this idea of being able to accept people where they are, again, hard lesson for me to learn. I will be the first to admit it. But I will also fight back in a way, not fight back, or at least push back in a way. You could hear Dr. Moses was constantly saying, well, I don't know if I would agree with you on that. And then I would say, well, guess what? I don't know if I agree with you on that. It could go tit for tat back and forth. But in all reality, he has to practice what he preaches. And the people that he's preaching to about diversity and kind of sticking up for, in a sense, the underdogs, well, they're just going to have to accept their lot in life and also accept people in their lot in life. What I'm really trying to say is that, like, at some point, we're just going to have to shut up and just accept that we're different. We shouldn't harm each other because we are different. Like, I can't imagine what it's like for, say, someone who's homosexual and having to kind of grow up in an environment that was hostile to them. And it could probably be very damaging, which is why when they are now in the position of authority, and let's admit it, the gay world is, they can push back, they can say something, they can call us, you know, homophobe or hate speech, and they've got the world's ear, except for, of course, in Muslim countries. But it's interesting because they always seem to expect, not they, but people who want us to accept their diversity, seem to challenge people like Christians more than they would challenge a Muslim. And I'm being very blunt, honest about this. You know, in a sense, it's because Jesus was the most accepting deity this world has ever known. I mean, he ate with sinners, prostitutes, tax collectors, lepers. He accepted people who were from foreign countries, the whole Samaritan woman, you know, the Good Samaritan. By highlighting these people, he was talking about the fact that people from other countries and different experiences, guess what? They also have a place in the kingdom of God. And so really, Dr. Moses's approach toward Christianity of acceptance and inclusion, it is right to a degree, you know, and I'm speaking now as a theologian, not as someone who's trying to learn about inclusion and diversity. I'm speaking primarily as a theologian because we also know that not everyone was accepted into heaven. That's just all there is to it. And if people who are diverse or at least espousing a gospel of diversity that we should just accept everyone for who they are, that's fine. We can do that. But that doesn't mean that we can't also reject somebody. I mean, you have to be able to make that decision. In other words, I can be very welcoming to anyone, say, like in the Catholic Church. But if somebody wanted me to teach a gospel contrary to that of Christ, then guess what? I can't do that. I mean, there's only so much I can do in the name of diversity. You know, when the topic came about with the bakers, the Christian bakers, in my God's honest opinion, honestly, I wouldn't have made such a big deal personally. This is me speaking personally. It's a cake. It's not the Eucharist. You know, and just me writing something on there, God bless your marriage, or something like that, as long as it wasn't derogatory. Do I believe it? No. I certainly don't believe it. Should they have made the cake? Probably. Did they have to, by law, make the cake? No, they didn't. You know, in the subsequent lawsuit after that, the people who created this whole legal scenario and sued the cake baking company, basically ruined their lives in a sense, you know, was determined to have just been aggressive and hateful. So guess what? The people who are espousing diversity need to swallow their own freaking pill and deal with the fact that they're going to be people who just don't like them. That doesn't make it hate speech. They're just going to have to realize that they're different too. So there could be a real sense of relativism, which is kind of what I'm focusing on right now. Well, first of all, there is relativism. You know, for some people, good is bad and bad is good. You know, abortion is a good for a lot of people, even though it is a murdering of a child, an unborn child. We got that. But some people actually think it's a good. How do I accept somebody and celebrate their diverse opinion about, say, something like as controversial as abortion? Well, I think some of the principles that I just mentioned before, check your intention. Don't do anything to try to hurt them. Secondly, try to walk in their shoes. Try to understand why they are so anti-pro-life. You know, the other thing is, we're going to have to just accept that there is disagreement. Maybe I might be able to change somebody's mind, but maybe I won't. And at one point, we're just going to have to accept each other. But there is certainly no reason to, like, be punching people who are pro-life. I mean, we all saw the video of the guy in Toronto who kicked a girl because she was holding a pro-life sign. That's unbelievably ridiculous. You know, I wouldn't, you know, this conversation happened with Dr. Moses before that. I would love to hear how he would approach that situation of someone who is violent because they are not willing to accept someone else's diverse opinion. But ultimately, for me as a Catholic priest, there was conversation actually that happened after our recorded conversation. We talked about being in a position of privilege. You've heard this, white privilege. Well, if you know me, I'm not white, so I don't feel privileged whatsoever. However, I did grow up in a very stable home. Like, mom and dad were together and intact, and my family's still together. And I know that that's a privilege, because not everybody has that. So I have to remind myself that a lot of people don't have the positive influences and the experiences that I have. It would be wrong of me to make them feel dumb or to feel guilty or to feel less than human because they didn't have these privileges. At the same time, because I am a Catholic priest and a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, I am in a position of privilege. I really am. And therefore, I can't make people feel like I'm looking down on them. And sometimes, if you've ever followed me on Twitter, so frustrating sometimes. People like send me these really mean tweets, which, by the way, you can do at Father Leo Feeds. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And I'll get into a little debate sometimes with people. I try to put the smiley or the dancing guy emoji just to make sure that people know I don't hate them. But at the same time, it's hard to accept some people's approach to explaining their different opinion than mine. And so what I try to do is I invite them onto my show. I say, hey, do you want to be a guest on my show and share your different opinion? you've got to be willing to share it with me, but also I have to be willing to share and have a conversation with you. And you know what? I've put it out on social media a lot, and very few people have actually taken me seriously to want to even have a conversation. But that's only because I believe I am in a position of privilege as a stable man who grew up in a stable environment. Thank God and thank my parents for that. But I also thank God and thank my parents for giving me the Christian faith, which puts me in a very supreme authority of stability. I should be, at least. I know there's a lot of unstable Christians, so don't get me wrong. But I should then, therefore, be more like Christ and approach people the way he did, approach different people the way Jesus did, which is he stooped down to their level. After reflecting on Dr. Moses' conversation, he might not like me saying this, but the fact is, those folks who are just trying to shove diversity down my throat, I kind of feel sorry for them. I mean, I certainly respect them and I appreciate them, but I kind of feel sorry for them because they kind of sound like, in my opinion, and please, Dr. Moses, I know if you're listening to this, don't think I'm insulting anyone here, but they just sound like they need to be heard. That's it. It just sounds like they need to be heard. And sometimes the only way that they can be heard is if they protest, if they scream, if they rant, if they break things. It's almost like a spoiled brat child who has no one to really spend time and take care of that child. And so they act out in ways that are very different from the norms of structure that create peace and productivity. So at one point, and I was really praying about this, and again, Dr. Moses, if you're listening, don't think that I'm twisting words around, but whenever now I'm hearing people trying to say, you should accept diverse opinion, I don't fight back with them. I kind of just, I don't want to say pity them, but I do in a way feel a little sorry, like they've never, may have not been heard or appreciated or welcomed. So they don't offend me anymore. I think that's kind of like a good thing. No, that's not true. They could offend me still. Maybe not as much. I'm growing. I'm growing up here, ladies and gentlemen. Right before your ears, I am trying to appreciate the differences that people bring. That doesn't mean I have to agree with it. But I have to check my intentions. And so what I say should never be hurtful. And even if it might come across that way, at least I can say in my own heart, it was not my intention to do it. And why? Because I've developed a little bit of skill called compassion and companionship. I'm going to try to at least develop a relationship with these people and kind of walk with them. Understand that I might not agree with them, but I can at least appreciate them as a person, as a child of God. And to also know that I am in a position of privilege. And therefore, I'm going to have to exercise my authority, not in a judgmental way, but in a compassionate way, the way Jesus did. And so that's kind of what I'm learning here. Again, I've got more to learn. We certainly had a lot of spirited questions and perhaps even debate, but hopefully you can hear that a diversity and inclusion specialist like Dr. Moses can speak to a priest who are oftentimes accused of being judgmental and not willing to listen. And guess what? I just proved everyone wrong. So they're going to have to accept me for who I am, as I am going to try to accept them for who they are. But please, let's both sides not play God. And let's just make sure that if we want to be accepted by God for who we are, let's find out what God says about it. And that's kind of my carryout order, a constant desire to know and learn the mind of God. It's frustrating for conservatives as it is for liberals. It really is. The mind of God can confound everyone from both sides of the political aisle to both sides of the moral aisle. And ultimately, we're just left with two commandments. Love God and love one another as God loves us, even willing to die for us. That is my carryout order here on Shoot the Shiitake. We've got more great content, especially for our exclusive patrons, people who donate $10 or more each month. Thank you. You are desperately needed, and we need more. So ladies and gentlemen, if you found that this conversation was helpful in any way, please support us with a $10 monthly donation, and you get extra content each month. And between now and the next time we talk, I just encourage everyone here to stay hungry. And we hope you enjoyed this special episode of Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, brought to you by BrandFox, where fulfillment, customer service, and e-commerce come together. It's a way to help your ministry or nonprofit or small business grow so you don't ever lose focus on your mission and get caught up in the daunting task of commerce. Relax, BrandFox got this. All you got to do is visit them at brandfoxllc.com. And if you did enjoy this episode, please share it with family and friends. Encourage them to subscribe on their favorite podcast platform and encourage family and friends to support us with a $10 donation each month or more for more premium content. To be a part of this growing Shoot the Shiitake family, just go to shoottheshiitake.com.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by
Toyota
Jack Kane
in
Ford.
Nicholasville.
Find
Super
your
store.
Next Ford Tough
Online
vehicle
consultants
at
are standing by right now
com.
To help you find
Woodhill
your next
Toyota.
Community Center.
Visit
Have a hand
Toyota
in the heart of the
on
city.
Nicholasville.
Support
.com.
Their mission with
Lexus
your donations
of Lexington.
At Woodhill Community
Home
Center.
Home of the best-selling
.org.
Lexus IS.
Toyota
find
in
Nicholasville
today.
Superstore.
At Lexus
Online
consultants are standing
.com.
By right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on Nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington. Home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at Lexus of Lexington.com.